Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 50th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is, There is Power in Purity. We're going to focus on the first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 3. Most preachers stop at verse 2 and do not read verse 3, but this is where the key to power lies. God said, purify yourself as he is pure. And then over in Exodus 20:14, God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, sex and marriage are mutually exclusive. You cannot have one without the other. And I know that this may sound harsh, but this is the truth. And at the end of this message, we're going to see Christian rapper D.A. Truth in his powerful song called Foreplay tell you this truth in some modern language. Now, this isn't a suggestion. This isn't a good thing to do. This is a commandment. And when a commandment or a law is broken, there are dire consequences. I'm just going to start with a little story. Imagine a mountain, a beautiful green valley far below that mountain. And there's a winding road coming down alongside that mountain. It's a long, winding road with many sharp turns, narrow, dangerous passes, and no guardrails. And on the top of that mountain, there's cars lining up for this long, slow passage down into what I'll call the Happy Valley below. Now, each car has two passengers, a man and a woman, in that car setting out on this journey. And they're all eager to make it down to the Happy Valley that's far below. And most pick up passengers down along the way. But on the way down, many wreck by flying over the cliffs on those hairpin turns or smashing into obstacles on the road. And sadly, the people in those cars end up broken and maimed. Well, you know what that is? That's an illustration or a picture of marriage in America today. So what should we do? Well, first, we must have compassion for those who are wrecked. We must say to them, our hearts are open to you, our churches are open to you, our arms are wide open, the Word of God is open, and the love of God is there. Because our God is a God who loves and restores, and he does not hold grudges. So we shouldn't be wagging fingers in their faces either. They need somebody to get down alongside of them, bind them up, and help the bruised and the broken, because there's plenty of them in America today. Now, I'm going to say this, and like I said, it's going to sound harsh, but I believe immorality or sexual sin is the most grievous sin of all, because it is a sin against our bodies, which are called the vessels or the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's also a sin against our souls, our minds, our will, and our emotions, and a sin against our spirit because it quenches the most Holy Spirit of God. I believe sex is to be sacred, a sacred act done between a man and his wife. But most importantly, immorality or sexual sin is a sin against God because God said, do not do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Paul wrote, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? So remember, our bodies are vessels. Where the five wise virgins in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, carried the extra oil, which is the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it reads, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the expediency of the power may be of God and not of us. And I'm just telling you, we must be pure or clean as he, that's Jesus, is pure. That's what 1 John 3:3 is all about, or else God will not fill us, our vessels, with his oil, which is also known as the Holy Spirit. Or remember, these lamps these virgins carried are the Lord's, and they're also known as our spirits. Read Proverbs 20:27 in the New King James. It says it so well. It says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. So when Adam and Eve sinned, their lamps were shut off. They were cut out. They were no longer in communion with the Most High God. And then when we're born again, our lamps or our spirits are filled with a measure of some oil, some Holy Spirit oil, and it's lit. But unless we choose or decide to purify ourselves as he is pure, that's 1 John 3:3. That's where free will after we are saved kicks in. The lamps will eventually go back out like the five foolish virgins. This understanding of our being or how we're put together requires what the theologians call a trichotomous view of man, which the Bible clearly teaches. And that's the body, our vessel, or the temple of the Holy Spirit, our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And by the way, that's the devil's playground. And our spirit, which is the lamp of the Lord, or the way which we communicate with God, because he is spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. Yet sadly, so many seminaries teach the dichotomous view of man, which is just body and soul, and you cannot understand this truth unless you embrace man being body, soul, and spirit. So when we're born again, John 3, verses 3 and 6, the Lord gives us a heart transplant. He takes our hearts of stone and he replaces them with hearts of flesh. And then we get what's called a new spirit. Ezekiel 36:26 says, a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I'll put in you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Also look at Ezekiel 18, verse 31. So when we repent of our sins and trust Jesus, our hearts of stone are replaced with hearts of flesh. And our spirits of rebellion, which is called witchcraft, is replaced with a new spirit, also known as oil, also known as the Holy Spirit, is put into our lamps. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23 says, "For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king." Remember, we're called kings and priests, but you cannot be kings and priests unless you have a new heart and a new spirit. Yet sadly, many New Agers, Masons, and our society in general are encouraging the spirit of this age, which I call rebellion, to believe the Masonic myth of what's called on becoming. This is also known as evolution, where man ultimately evolves into gods with no divine intervention, no blood of the cross, and no grace. Mason historian W.L. Wilmhurst covers this teaching in his book titled The Meaning of Masonry. So we need to install some guardrails and remove some obstacles on this roadway I'll call life. But the main thing we need to do is to teach our young people the power that's only found in purity. You know, the Great Wall of China is this man-made wonder in the world, and it was so huge that invading armies at first were stopped by it. It was so huge you could ride chariots over the top and you could see it from outer space. But ultimately it failed to keep the enemy out. And what happened? Well, the enemy realized all they had to do was bribe the gatekeeper. And the point is, we need a gatekeeper inside our hearts to keep the enemy out. The walls of restraint and the laws of God's word do no good unless the gatekeeper is found inside. This seventh commandment deals with all immorality. In summary, it's saying all sexual activity outside of marriage is grievous sin. This means premarital sex, extramarital sex, all sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is a sin against Almighty God. The Ten Commandments are called old-fashioned today. We're told the Ten Commandments are out of date and that today we have a new morality. Well, okay, how's that working? I see homes coming apart. I see young people just being sucked down into the swirling sores of sin. Venereal diseases running around like wildfire. So my point is we better get back into the Word of God. You know, God says in Acts 15:29, abstain from fornication. 1 Corinthians 10:8, neither let us commit fornication. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. That's Colossians 3:5. Then Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That word fornication means any sexual sin, anything outside of marriage. So sex before marriage is committing adultery. And how could that be? Well, here's how. You're sinning against the person you'll eventually marry. You're building obstacles and putting barriers that you'll have to overcome once you get married. And that's sin. So many of us wonder who our children and our grandchildren are going to marry, how they're going to find that right person who's sexually clean and pure. Well, we ought to be teaching them to be that right person, because if they're the right person, then they'll have a greater probability of finding the right person. Huxley wrote that classic that's called The Brave New World, and here's what he said about our day and age. He said, in a few years, no doubt, marriage licenses will be sold like dog licenses, good for a period of 12 months with no law against changing dogs or keeping more than one animal at a time. Well, I'm telling you what, we're almost there. We need to help our young people. And let's go back to that driving analogy for a minute. Going down that mountain pass. You know it's easier to get a marriage license than a driver's license today? Wow, when that happens, there's something wrong in society. We're in a vicious cycle. We have broken homes which produce broken people that have more broken homes that produce more broken people that produce more broken homes. Now, this isn't an irreversible cycle. So what do we need to do to break this cycle? We need to teach young people how to practice purity and how to have godly marriages. We need to help them get from the mountaintop to the valley below. Now, you may either be single or happily married, but this still applies to you. Why? Because we're part of a team if we're Christians. It's called ministry. And there are 3 points to help our youth arrive safely. So what can we do? Well, first we need to teach them the power that's found in purity, the title of this message. Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 24 tells about the first marriage in the Garden of Eden. It tells about God's incredible plan for the home and for a magnificent marriage. The secret is that sex comes after and only in marriage. Go back on your own and read Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. And it all culminates with this final passage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So the scripture makes three points about this sexual union that is this marriage that's consummated by a sexual union. First, it's of the highest priority. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. The highest priority of all human relationships isn't parent and child, isn't child and parent, but mate to mate, man to woman. But it also tells about the permanence of this. The Bible says, shall cleave unto his wife. Now, in Hebrew, this idea of cleaving means to weld or glue together. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder, is what we hear in Mark chapter 10, verse 9. The point is, marriage is permanent, till death do us part. And, you know, just show me one young couple that considers divorce an option when they get married, and I'll show you two people that are probably going to get divorced. They'll say, well, we got divorced because we had problems. Well, I have news for you folks. People who stay married and people who get divorced basically have the same kind of problems. The difference isn't the problem. The difference is commitment or lack thereof. Everybody has problems in their marriage. Now, most people have what I call potentially wonderful marriages, but they don't even realize it. And what I mean by that is 90% of most marriages are wonderful, and only about 10% of the marriage, maybe it's a little different, but in most cases, there's more good than bad. But many couples throw out the good because of the bad instead of working on it. And that shows a lack of commitment. So this verse in Genesis speaks of the priority and the permanence and ultimately the purpose of marriage. And here's the purpose. And this is the foundation of this entire message. And here's the key to it all. The two will be one flesh, Genesis 2:24. That's the point. And that's what we have to understand. So here we deal with more than simply a sexual union. You can't just hook up. You can't have a one-night stand. But get this. The sex initiates the union. Did you get that? Sexual intercourse is a soul tie and a deeply spiritual matter. It means that they will become one flesh physically, they'll become one emotionally, and they'll become one spiritually. Sex is a sacred and spiritual matter. And marriage is a romance. It's like a romance story. And in the first chapter, both the hero and the heroine die, and then they become one new person. Now, I know that might sound old-fashioned to you, and I agree, it sure does. But it's mighty good, because it's true. You know, there's a new survey out by the Family Research Council, and it shows that the best physical and sexual relationships, as well as the most emotional stability, are found in those people who wait upon God and keep themselves pure for marriage. Now, can you imagine that? Wow. That found that 72% of those married traditionally reported better satisfaction sexually. This is 31% higher than unmarried non-traditionalists, so to speak, those people that hook up, and 13% higher than those people that have what are called open marriages or whatever. So this poll went on to just say that most of these people who report this satisfaction go to church. Could you imagine that? So when all else fails, go back and read the directions. I tell people in my Bible studies that the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for the basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E. So marriage is more than just for propagation. It's for mutual love, comfort, and joy. When the Bible says thou shalt not, God's saying don't hurt yourself. When God says thou shalt, he's saying help yourself to happiness. You know, we're not smarter than God. God loves us. So when God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, he's not trying to keep you from sex. He's trying to keep sex for you. So sex is meant to be between a man and his wife, and it's a wonderful gift. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So what does the enemy want to do with sex? The enemy wants to pervert it and make us slaves to it. This sick society, our sinful selves, and that sinister Satan drive and entice us to indulge in illicit sex outside of the safe, secure, and sacred bounds of marriage. And that defiles the vessel, leaving us with no extra oil for our lamps, like those five foolish virgins in Matthew 25. So then what do we have to do? We have to warn our young people about the consequences of any and all impurity. And by the way, I know, like I said at the beginning of this message, this sounds harsh, but this is very solemn and stern Because it must be, because God didn't equivocate on this matter. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, this word adulterate means to make impure. So when you adulterate your marriage, you have taken something that God values very highly, and you've made it impure. So first we have to understand adultery is a sin. And a sin is a transgression of God's law, and it causes damage, and it will result in judgment, unless it's repented of. And that's what we must understand. So how's it a sin? Well, first, it's a sin against one's own self. The Bible says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Or that means outside the body. But he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. You know, read 1 Corinthians 6:18 again. So please, please, please get this. There is no sin that you will do that damages you more than sexual immorality. It damages you spiritually, mentally, and physically. We hear young people today talking about safe sex. Well, get this. Newsflash, folks. Sex is not supposed to be dangerous. We shouldn't even be talking about safe sex. We should be talking about sacred sex. And another lie of the enemy is to split the world into what I call the sacred or spiritual and the secular or the physical. You know, we go to church on Sunday, and the rest of the week we're doing our secular stuff. You know, separation of church and state. That's the biggest lie there is. A better way to view the world is to say that everything is spiritual. And the true dichotomy, the true split, is whether what you choose to do at that very moment is sacred and pleasing in the eyes of God or profane and an abomination in the eyes of God. So ask yourself that question throughout the day, and I promise you it'll open your eyes and give you a whole new perspective to a pure and righteous life. And that's the key here. So in truth, immorality is a sin against self. It's a man and a woman sinning against their own body. And also it's a sin against the home. Yes, it's the most heinous element of adultery. It's a sin against home. It just splits a home apart. It tears lives of innocent children apart. Pastor Kent Hughes, in his book titled Disciplines of a Godly Man, wrote this, and get this, this is powerful. The man who commits adultery says to his children, your mother is not worth much, and I, your father, am a liar and a cheat. Furthermore, honor is not nearly as important as pleasure is. In fact, my children, my own satisfaction is more important than you are. Wow, did you get that? And adultery is also a sin against the church. Are you thinking right now, well, that's my personal life, and it has nothing to do with you. Well, I'm going to tell you what, it does if you call yourself a Christian. You know, as Christians, none of us live unto ourselves, and none of us die unto ourselves. The Bible teaches we are the temple of God. And remember, the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, which temple ye are. So if you're a Christian, stop thinking your sex life is personal and it's none of my business, because it is. And my sex life is your business, because we're in this together. We're members, one another. We're members of the same body, and that body is Jesus Christ. So when a member of the church lives in sexual immorality, he sins against the body of Christ. He takes the members of Christ and makes them members of a harlot. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:15, how should this happen? God forbid. So adultery is a sin against self, a sin against home, a sin against church, and against the nation. Now, I wonder how long the wrath of God, our holy God, will be stayed against America. Gibbons wrote in The Rise and the Fall of the Roman Empire that this sin of sexual immorality, was the number one thing that brought down the Roman Empire. And other historians have also shown that sexual sin destroyed Greece, Rome, Egypt, and Babylon. And I believe that unless we repent, this sexual sin will destroy America. Because right now, the raging waters of God's wrath are furiously pounding against the dam of his mercy. But one day, that dam of mercy will give way to the waters of God's wrath. The Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know, the Israelites lived under what's called a theocracy. And the Old Testament said in Deuteronomy 22:22, if a man be found lying with a woman married to another husband, they shall both die. Both the man that lie with the woman and the woman shall be put away evil from Israel. That's how grievous they viewed sexual immorality. We got to stop this. And why? Because it defiles the body, the temple or vessel of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are dark forces at play in America today. They use ancient occult teachings to enslave the masses. They entice the masses with what they call sexual liberation and con the masses to confuse sexual freedom with personal liberty. And when they do this, they undermine the foundations of a just and free nation. You know, they're working off this age-old plan called the Great Work of Ages, and they corrupt government, banking, business, military, and the media. They're called the Brotherhood, and their agenda is global control and the New World Order under Lucifer, the Antichrist. They call us goyim, you know, cattle, and they want to microchip us like cattle in a feedlot, and they encourage us to fornicate like cattle in a feedlot so that they can enslave us by our own lust. So the truth is, their chief tool to ensnare the masses is sexual immorality. Now, today, we don't live under a theocracy. But under a theocracy, when God was king, God said, put away this evil from our land so that our land can survive. And I'm telling you, that truth still applies today, theocracy or not. This brotherhood is the enemy of the home and the enemy of society. And they know that people who treat sex lightly will treat other people lightly. And that's when society comes crashing down. This spirit even has a name. I mentioned earlier, it's the spirit of witchcraft, also known as rebellion. Remember 1 Samuel 15:23? And then ultimately and most importantly, this is a sin against the Most High God. Why? Because he declared, thou shalt not commit adultery. So this is a sin against God. You know, King David knew this when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And in Psalm 51:4, he said, against thee, thee only, I have sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And then in Proverbs 6:32, the Bible says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. And why? Because he sinned against Almighty God. The Ten Commandments are the law. They're not advice. And a law without penalty is only advice. So we got to understand that there are penalties associated with breaking God's law. So don't get the idea that as a Christian, a pure life is an option that you can decide or choose to live. I'm telling you what, if you're not striving to live a pure life right now, you have no right to call yourself a Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, for this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater shall have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And then again in Revelation 21:8, it says that the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the adulterers and all the liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So no matter how sex is glamorized by our media and Hollywood, outside of the marriage bed, it is a sin against our Most High God. And it's a tool being used by Satan and his minions to enslave this world. Now, are you thinking, well, I'm a member of the church, I got saved, and I'm living that way, and nothing's happened to me. Well, remember what the writer of Hebrews warned us in chapter 12, verse 8. He wrote, if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. And God said in the verse right before, if you were my son, I would have chastened you. You know, Paul warned us in Romans chapter 2, verse 5, but after thy hardness and impertinent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. What he's saying there is beware. If you're living in sexual immorality, you're treasuring it up for his day of wrath, for a later day. So we have to teach. We have to warn, and then finally, and I'm going to finish this part of the message up in the archive, we have to show by example. So we have to model this way of godly living for our children and the next generation to see. And here's how we can get our marriage back on track if it's off track, or keep it on track if it's already on track. First, we have to make a decision. Decide today for Jesus Christ. Stop saying you're committed. Stop saying you're committed to Jesus. Surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ today. And if you've failed, if you've sinned in this matter, bring it to him. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He will forgive you. He will not hold grudges if you repent. Every stain, every blot, every blur, every blemish, he'll bury in the grave of his forgetfulness. So come to Jesus, and I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, he will cleanse you. And then after you've decided, depend. So once you surrender to Jesus, you must depend on Jesus, just like a branch clings to the vine. Depend on Christ. Make him your all in all, like it says in Colossians 3:11. And I promise you, he will energize you. Read Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And Jesus will give you power for victory over sin, moment by moment and day by day. This is what the Hebrews chapter 11, 39 through 40 promise was all about, and the mystery of the ages that Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 was all about. And most importantly, in the second part of Romans chapter 5, verse 10, also known as living a resurrection life in Christ Jesus. Isn't that exciting? And then finally, not finally, but the next step, we need devotion. So begin to pour your love out to Christ and your family. Love God and your mate with a supernatural agape love, the love that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And whenever a man comes to me and says, you know, I'm going to divorce my wife because I don't love her anymore, he's going to get absolutely no sympathy from me, because true love isn't a feeling, it's a decision. You know, our culture has tricked us into confusing lust for love, but God has commanded us to love and not lust. So anybody can love who chooses to love. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Read Colossians 3:19 and Ephesians 5:25. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Don't tell me, well, you know, I just fell out of love, so I just can't do it anymore. No, decide today to love. And then have this devotion, a love for God and a love for your spouse and family. And then focus on development. Let your agape love continue to grow. You know, because love's not like a diamond. Sure, a diamond's beautiful, but it's static. Love is like a beautiful rose bush that must be cultivated to continue to blossom these beautiful roses. So if you don't love your wife more today than when you got married, I believe you love her less. The point is, agape love cannot be static. It must grow. And to grow, it must be cultivated. So when we all got married, I believe we should have been asked the following question. The pastor should have said, will you continue to feed that love day to day and from week to week and from year to year from the very best resources in your living? And men, don't ever flirt with another woman, and never stop flirting with your wife. Wink at her, hug her, do those nice little things for her, like opening the door. Keep the honey in the honeymoon. And then we all need discipline. Guard your company. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Friends that are urging you to sin aren't friends. And watch what you set in front of your eyes. So often the TV set and the internet are like open sewers running directly into our homes. Don't watch those filthy things. Don't abide or live in them. You know, you wouldn't put garbage in your mouth. So why allow garbage to come into your brain? Remember, garbage in is garbage out. It truly is. And don't say it won't affect you. Proverbs 6:27 says, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? So watch what you watch. And then when we send our children off to college, we ought to give them a motto etched on a plaque that says, he who would not fall down ought not walk in slippery places. Tell them to watch what they do. Remember, the Bible says flee fornication. So there must be discipline. And then finally, there must be determination. Make up your mind. I don't have to make up my mind every time I go out of town whether I'm going to be true to Terry anymore. I don't have to make up my mind every time I turn on the television or the internet whether I'm going to watch filth or not. I don't have to make up my mind every time I pass a newsstand as to whether I'm going to buy a raunchy magazine or not. Why? Because I've already made up my mind. Now, I don't want to sound arrogant about this or anything. I'm just simply saying, like the psalmist in Psalm 112, verse 7 said, my heart is fixed, O Lord, trusting in thee. So the point is, I've decided to follow Jesus. So please, make that one big decision, and it'll help you make a whole lot of other smaller decisions moment by moment and day by day. And then you don't have to keep on thinking this or that. Is this right or is that right or is this right or that wrong? You'll have that deep down determination buried in your heart. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua 24, verse 15. And then you'll be on autopilot in this practice of righteousness. Yeah, so remember, God's plan is purity, which comes from sex, only practiced in loving marriages. But if you've failed, remember our God is a God of forgiveness. He's a God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, but beware. This won't go on forever. Eventually, judgment will come, so repent now. So we ought to be loving and forgiving people, just like our God. We need to forgive one another, then repent and trust, and then trust and obey. For truly, I'm telling you, there's no other way of living. And remember, I'm going to end with this. Remember that woman taken into that was going to be stoned for adultery? Jesus said, "Where are thine accusers? Hath no man accused thee? Neither do I." Now listen to how he finished. "Go and sin no more." Read John chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. So go and sin no more today. And if you have a broken heart, or if you have a broken home, bring it to Jesus. I'm telling you, he can and will put it back together if you give him all the pieces. Remember the first miracle our Lord performed? It was at a wedding, and he turned water to wine. So just remember, God's still performing miracles. And when you get right down to it, every marriage is a magnificent miracle. It's incredible, because it's the only right and holy and pure way to express ourselves sexually. It's the union of a man and a woman and God, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Now, I know this won't be easy, but it's worth it. And the reason it's worth it is because there's power in purity. I love y'all. Now listen to what D.A. Truth has to say.
I know this may be a sticky topic for some people, but this has been something that's been plaguing the body of Christ for years, and I just think it really needs to be addressed. You know? I just like to talk about it. Scripture talks about it, and I just want to talk about it. All I'm gonna say is, here we go. Stay away from them fly girls. Look up to these thigh girls. Looking like cowgirls. Making your eyes swirl. I know their lips rip like honey, but they're promiscuous. I recommend you keep your ears from the vicious lips. To my sister, stay away from them fly misses. Don't be deceived by the way they got riches. God's with ya, God's with ya. I know sex seems like a big deal, but God's bigger. God's bigger, y'all.
Sex is alright in God's sight. As long as the two are married, not prom night. See the world that got sex up in the limelight, claiming that you can't survive without it. But that's a lie, right? Well, of course it is. Sex will put you in a spiritual orphanage. That's unfortunate. Changing your life like a metamorphosis. Deeper than explorers get. But the deeper you get, the more you slip. Come on, you can be honest. Sex is addictive like narcotics. But it leaves you broke like ebonics, rephonics. It's not demonic, relative to the exotic. Relentless flesh that won't rest till erotic. Thoughts are established. Sex before marriage causes emotional damage. You better believe it, dude, cause sex is lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes.
You understand, man, I love this girl.
You can't justify, trying to justify lust with love is just a lie. You better trust the word of God, it's either trust or die. The Bible informs the nations to flee from fornication, plus to abstain from them sexual conversations. Masturbation, pornographic station, stop shopping the condemnation, but rather bless God who conquers nations. Despite the fact that sex is popular throughout your population, I recommend get a lock for your chastity belt and tell no one the combination until marriage takes place.
That's weak, why not?
You know that haste makes waste. The sex before marriage makes the body impure. With a kissing and grinding, you never know what you're in for or what's in store. I implore you, brothers, to endure the temptation of sexual sin, whether it be hetero or homosexual sin. Now that's real. The flesh battles against the spirit. We in the war zone. Question is, who wins, the spirit or our hormones? More prone to follow the flesh because it's convenient. Streaming throughout the pores of the body, semen. Son, listen up, it's enough philosophy. Listen up, which conceives sin, then death. Position up, put on the whole armor, just to guard your mind up. Hold every thought captive to Christ, lest you wind up with a necessary pain plus trauma. But if you stand firm and exercise your faith, doing what he's fond of, God's trauma. Sister, you can't be broke up. I recommend you flee from lust, son, before you choke up.
Fly girls, look up to these side girls, looking like cowgirls, making your eyes swirl. I know their lips rip like honey, but they're promiscuous. I recommend you keep your ears from the vicious lips. To my sister, stay away from the fly misses. Don't be deceived by the way they got riches. God's richer, God's richer. I know 16 is like a big deal, but God's bigger. God's
eyes, Biggie, yo. When you see your shorty, don't try to act fly. Turn on your cat eyes and stare hard at the backside.
That's weak omen, look, so why can't I?
Cause it serves lust in your heart, dude, that's why.
Okay.
Besides, are you just a man of a man that God analyzed? Control them eyes when she's passing by. Avoid late rendezvous. You know when you're watching a movie, but then the movie's watching you.
Well, what else we got to do?
Anything other than cuddling or mom, dude's couch for two. Watch how you display affection. Hands moving up a thigh to a midsection. Next year, giving each other body inspection. Think you're digging in your pocket looking for protection. Avoid watching movies full of nudity. Cause the more you see, the more it tears down your spiritual immunity. Same goes for rap and R&B. I know it's hard to see, but their lyrics are not in harmony with God's views. Take heed to this God's news. You got everything to gain and nothing to lose. You got everything to gain and nothing to lose. Take heed to God's news and stay away from them
fly girls. Trust up to these fly girls, looking like cowgirls, making your eyes twirl. I know their lips drip like honey, but they're promiscuous. I recommend you keep your ears from their vicious lips. To my sisters, stay away from them fly misses. Don't be deceived by the way they got riches. God's richer, God's butcher. I know sex seems like a big deal, but God's bigger. Stay away from them fly girls. Trust up to these fly girls, looking like cowgirls, making your eyes. I know their lips drip like honey, but they're promiscuous. I recommend you keep your ears from their vicious lips. Tell my sisters, stay away from them fly misses. Don't be deceived by the way they got riches. God's richer, God's butcher. I know sex seems like a big deal, but God's bigger. God's bigger, y'all.
Thank you.
Stay pure before the Lord and be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I love you all. This is the key to power in Jesus Christ. I love you all.